Okay. Welcome to the Sunday night. There is a solution newcomers and returning members meeting of Overeaters Anonymous. Visit our website at oaontario.org, where you'll find this audio recording, additional podcasts, and a place to donate to keep this special service active. The opinions expressed are those of individual OA members and do not represent OA as a whole. We will now introduce our speaker, a member who has at least 6 months of abstinence, has recovered through the directions in the Big Book, and maintains recovery on a daily basis. After the share, there will be time to make a comment or ask a question about the OA program or what the speaker has shared. So please help me welcome my own namesake, Donna C., a compulsive overeater from near Toronto, Ontario. Thank you. Welcome, Donna.
Hi, Donna. Thanks. Thanks, guys. Would any newcomers care to just give me a wave? Any newcomers in the room? Awesome. Well, you're in the right place. Thank you for asking me. I am Donna C., recovered by the grace of God. I've been in the rooms 25 and a half years. I have now, there's a discrepancy because I didn't write it down, but I know it's 6 years of back-to-back abstinence and 46-pound weight loss. I came into the rooms, quite frankly, a lunatic with three active children. My sister was in the rooms. And she has also, I don't think she'd mind me saying 26 years of back-to-back abstinence. She's much more disciplined than I am. And because I'm the youngest in the family, I was a brat. And so, of course, I want what I want when I want it. When I walked through the rooms, I knew I was home. I came knowing what was happening because of my sister. And I became abstinent before I even walked in the rooms. I was on my way and I was going to Tim Hortons and I was going to partake and have one last hurrah, and I didn't. I think God was with me then. And so I walked into the rooms. A friend took me by the hand at the end of the meeting and took me to my first sponsor, who remained my sponsor for 6 years. I had 6 years of back-to-back abstinence where I didn't lick my fingers. I didn't taste my food. I had my abstinence looked very different than it does now, but it worked until it didn't. And I gave away my abstinence, which, by the way, wouldn't have happened now if we had had Zoom back then. I was away in Greece. I used to go there. I do go there for the summer. And there were no meetings, not anything. And barely even able to make phone calls because of the time difference. So I gave away my abstinence and I got it right back for another 2 years. And then I gave it away again for 1 year. And then I gave it away again after 9 months, until eventually I had enough abstinent chips to make a beautiful necklace. And then I stopped counting my dates. And I remained that way on and off, in and out. I never left the rooms, but in and out of giving away my abstinence for another, probably, I think, 8 years. I became so desperate. I thought I would never weigh and measure my food. I thought I would never do what I do now. So I will tell you what I do now, and it seems drastic, but it has given me, for me, so much freedom. I have had the most weight loss with eating the way I eat. And it's not... It's not because I'm, I weigh myself once a month and the weight is only a gauge, because I'm a big fat liar. And I can lie to myself. And so when, you know, I clearly wasn't abstinent even when I thought I was. And because my weight reflected it, my body reflected it, and my temper reflected it. And so right now, for the past 6 years, I weigh and measure my food always. Not 100%. If I'm in a restaurant, I don't take my scale with me. Others do, but I don't. I weigh and measure my food. I don't eat any flour or sugar. And I eat three times a day with two fruit snacks in between. And that's what I do. I'm never hungry. And it is so much easier for me. The huge thing for me also is I speak to my sponsor every morning. I call her at 8:15 and I give her my food. We do some gratitudes. We chat. And planning my food has been enormous for me. And it's not just planning my food, because I'm cooking for a family too. If I know what I'm going to cook that day, that's three quarters of the pressure for me, because I am constantly, what am I going to make? What am I going to eat? And it's not fun. But when I've planned what I'm cooking for the family, it's a big weight off my shoulders. Preparing the meal seems like nothing than thinking of what I'm going to prepare. And so it goes with me and my food. I don't always eat. Quite often, I don't eat what my family's eating. I monitor, I weigh my fats also. What I came to realize was that I am a big food addict for fats. I have a trilogy. If it has flour, fat, and sugar, I'm off to the races. Something happens that I turn, and I am 100% powerless over my food. So as long as I don't put that trilogy together, my food is very quiet. I have no problem at all not eating things other people eat, and I have no problem at all having them around me. If I did, and has happened, then they won't be around me. I'll throw it out. This program has, so that's physically what I do with my food and with my sponsor. Sponsorship is so important, and doing service is so important. It keeps me clean. So I suggest to anybody to get a sponsee, and any newcomer to get a sponsor. And to keep coming back. I know in these times with a Zoom meeting, some meetings are becoming face-to-face to do that. This program saved my life. It made me a better wife. It made me a better mother. It made me a better friend. And it made me comfortable in my own skin. Not always. And when I'm not, I know what to do. The big book is huge for me. In my beginning years, you know, I'm not one that does. If you need to do a lot of work, if you need to immerse yourself in meetings, immerse yourself in the 12 steps, 10th step, if you need to immerse yourself and spend a lot of time doing that, then you do that. If that keeps you recovered, if that keeps you out of the food, then it is much easier to do that than to live in the food, because that brings a whole host of other problems. I've never been one that has spent enormous time doing program work in my day, but I make sure I pray every day and pray often. I make sure I ask God for direction. And I make sure my big book and my books are close by. And my beginning years, I've got my original big book, and there isn't, I don't think, a line that's not highlighted. There isn't a page that isn't, well, it's falling apart, but I still have it. The big book is huge for me. It's free therapy. And the 12 steps are huge for me also. I read something spiritual, usually something that comes in the form of a daily reading. And I used to listen to a lot of spiritual tapes. I'm not sure if these were OA sanctioned in the early days, but I'm not sure if they are now. So I won't mention them. But if anybody can, Donna, if you can think of maybe remember of some books we used to read, let me know if they are. One stuck, the initials of the author are EM, and he's dead. So, or EF. So I needed to do those things daily. And there are still things I need to do daily. If I run into a problem, and if I run into an issue, because let's face it, you know, life happens. And the one thing I do know is resentment and anger are not my friend. And I cannot entertain those feelings for any length of time. And so when I do, I immediately say a prayer. I immediately ask God for direction. I ask God for direction. Give me my thoughts. Give me what I need to do. Show me what I need to do. Because I know I need to, instead of point my fingers at somebody else, I need to pay attention to the other four fingers that are pointing at me. I have to look at me first. And I always have a part in it. And even if that part isn't my fault, I still have a part in it. And I'm 100% now willing to see that. This program's taught me humility, and it's given my kids their life. I mean, I was a lunatic, and I had three very active boys that never stopped moving, that never stopped. I mean, bodies flying through the air constantly. And I mean, they were good kids, but they were just active. At the time, I was in financial stress. At the time, my mother became ill. We had bankruptcy. We had fire. I would throw my hands in the air and say, what else? What else? And thank you, God, I was in these rooms, because I don't know how I would have survived it. Just one foot in front of the other, one day at a time. And usually in times like that, 1 minute at a time. What else can I have? A couple readings that may jog me to. Two things I need to know about God. There is one, and it's not me. I have issues of control, and my way is not the right way. And if I need inspiration, I know, you know, where I'm going to find it. There are so many things that, you know, I would be living in fear, false evidence, altering reality. That I was a huge procrastinator. So when I was 46 years old, I went back to, no, 48 years old, I went back to school. I was in program. There is no bloody way I would have done that without being in these rooms. I would not do the footwork. If somebody had to hand it to me on my lap and do all the footwork, that's the only way things got done for me then. That's pre-program. We used to be in the restaurant business. So I clearly couldn't do that anymore. So I when I left that a restaurant, I asked God. I went right to God. I don't know what I want to do. I don't know what I'm going to do. Guide me. It wasn't even a week. I used to spend a lot of time in the schools volunteering for my kids. It wasn't even a week. The secretary said to me, Donna, you know, you will get paid for doing this, because I was volunteering a lot. Oh, really? How can I do that? She told me, and I did it. I did the footwork. I went to the police station. I got the checks done. I made the applications. So I became a supply EA. So I did that. I loved it. While I was in that same school, a friend of mine said, Donna, why don't you enroll in the Child and Youth Worker Program? The Board of Education pays for it. It's two nights a week. It's fabulous. I just graduated. I'm like, really? What do I do? She told me what to do, and I did it. I never would have done that. All that was so God-guided, and God had my back. God was directing me the whole way, and all I had to do was ask. That's all I had to do. But I also had to listen. And so I believed that that's how God was speaking to me, through that secretary, through my friend, and giving me the courage to do the footwork. And not just the courage, the, you know, procrastination. I could never figure out, why am I a procrastinator? What is it? The word, it wasn't enough, the word procrastination. And I said to my sponsor at the time, what is it? What is procrastination? Well, selfishness. You're doing what you want to do when you want to do it. And I thought, wow, yeah. For me, that's what it is. I'm being selfish when I'm procrastinating. So this program led me to be a child and youth worker and work in the schools. And I loved it. I got to work with disabled kids, kids with autism, kids with Down syndrome. I loved it. I'm retired now. And so I'm loving a different life. And none of that would be possible without this program. I can't tell you how grateful I am. I kept coming back, even when I didn't want to. If I heard one more person say, keep coming back. If I heard, it works when you work it. If I heard all the little, you know, the one-liners, When I want to roll my eyes and say, I can't hear that one more time, I know I have a problem. It's not the program. It's me, which reminds me of another little thing I have written down here. If you run into three jerks in one day, it's you. And that's so true. If there are little things, little hints that I'm off the beam, when I'm honking my horn, when I'm yelling at somebody, when I'm impatient, when I think, when I say the words, why would you, why would they do that? I'm judging and I'm not being kind. And these are all little indicators that I'm off the beam. And what do I need to do? I need to pick up my spiritual. I need to reconnect. I need to pump up prayer. I need to pump up reading. I need to pump up looking at what I'm doing. I need to pump all my do things up. And it'll pass. For me, I could go to, in the past, when I was in and out of abstinence, I would go to meetings and then go home and eat. I would talk to people and then I would eat. I have to have my food in place. I have to have my food in place. Otherwise, I'm not going to get anything else. I'm not going to be very spiritual. I'm not going to be open. I'm not. The food has to come first. And for me, I believe that food has to be in place and everything else will follow. I've got written here, I can't think my way into right actions. I have to act my way into right thinking. That's like act as if, you know, I can't, if I'm not getting it, I have to go through the motions, and I know I will. I will. If I'm not getting it, just I have to act as if. Instead of telling God my big problems, I tell my problems how big God is. I love that. You know, I don't get any of this on my own. I get it from listening to all of you. I get it from reading the literature. I don't mind not having an original thought in my head about all this. I'm glad that the bottom was risen for me. I wasn't a huge binger, but I clearly had an addiction for food. Even when I was in and out of my abstinence, there are foods that I have not touched in 25 and a half years. There are places I know I can't go. Even when I wasn't abstinent, I would say to myself, well, why don't I just do this? I'm not abstinent. I just may as well, but I know that there is no return for some foods for me. There's no return. And I hate, I'm terrified to go back there. I have much more fun abstinently than I do non-abstinently. And when I look at it, when I think, when people used to tell me, other people, I weigh and measure all my food, I revolted against that, like a hand to a hot flame. There is no way I'm going to do that, but I do. And I need to. I have no idea how much I'm eating. Still, you know, I do love it when I weigh out my protein and it's right. I put the right amount on my plate. I'm like, yeah, but that doesn't happen that often. I usually have to either add or take off. It's just, you know, I don't know. If your dreams are not terrifying, they aren't big enough. That when I went back to school, I mean, I was 48 years old. But I did it, and it is so not me. It is just so not me. It's so how God guides us. And when, I don't know, I've got it written here somewhere, but when we walk in the rooms, we're walking in on the wings of giants, those that came before us. I thank God every day, and the God of my understanding that I was led to these rooms, that my sister went before me, because I had no idea about Overeaters Anonymous. And she read about it in Ann Landers. If anybody ever remembers Ann Landers, yeah, she read about it in Ann Landers and went. I'm just very grateful. And I urge any newcomer, just keep coming back. I've written my phone number in the chat. Call me anytime. I go to Greece still in the summertime. And now, you know, my husband is semi-retired. I'll be there longer. And thank God for Zoom. Thank God for Skype, that I can go to a meeting anytime. And even though I'm 7 hours ahead, it's not ideal. But I always feel connected. I am always feel connected to my sponsor, and I can't live without you guys. I can't live without this program, and I don't want to. Even when those days where I just didn't want to come, didn't want to do it, wanted to be normal, can't do it, and. That's just the way it is. And what I focus on grows. So I don't need to focus on that. So I think my time is up. I hope I said something that resonated. And if I didn't, you listen to another speaker, somebody's going to say something. Anyway, thanks for asking me, and give me a call anytime.
Thanks a lot, Donna.